Hello, this is Heather Neal, here today with Dr. Wilson, and it's December 29th, 2013, and we're going to be talking about the subject of prenatal care. Hello, Dr. Wilson.
Hi, Heather.
Let's get started with our first question. Why are babies and children so sick?
Okay. And this is Dr. Larry Wilson. There are other Dr. Wilsons out there that we get confused with sometimes.
Oh, that's true. You
know, there's a lot of reasons why the babies and the children are so ill, but I'll go through a couple of them. One of them, the main one, is that their mothers are not healthy. This is known in animal husbandry, and in other areas, farmers know this, that if you want healthy babies, healthy children, you have to have healthy parents. You have to have healthy parents. We don't have that today. Now, all the reasons are nutritionally, the mothers are depleted. They're often full of toxic metals, toxic chemicals, infections. They're often affected by electromagnetic stress from cell phones, cell phone towers, smart meters, computers, Wi-Fi, and other sources of electromagnetic energy. There is some stress out there, but I think that's always been there, and that's not as much of a problem, you know, such as financial stress and other types. And then the mothers are also often filled up with medical drugs, which are toxic, antibiotics, vaccines, and many other things. That's a brief idea. They don't eat correctly. The water isn't pure. The air isn't pure. In other words, there are a number of reasons for the parents being toxic. And this, we find, is the main reason why the children are born toxic and depleted. And then they get worse from there, usually.
It's exactly what happened to myself and my daughter.
Yes, and millions of others.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we know that it's mostly the parents is because we find that if we feed the parents correctly, especially the mother, and we heal her body, that we get what we call super children, super babies. That is, babies that are extremely healthy. One that recently was born in California, it was a fifth child, and the mother was in her 40s, mid-40s, and the pediatrician was so amazed that he canceled all his appointments and grilled the mother for several hours as to what she did, because her other children had been very difficult births and ill children. And this child, a fifth, came out in excellent shape, and the mother in excellent shape, and he wanted to know what it was. Well, it was a nutritional balancing program. But that's how we know that if you handle the mothers properly, the babies will be much healthier.
It's so nice to know we can do something.
Yes, it has to be done correctly. When I say it's not that difficult, it's not if you understand the program properly, but all the elements of the program must be correct for the mother, the diet, the lifestyle, the supplements, the procedures, and sometimes other things, you know, avoiding medical drugs and vaccines. There are a number of factors that have to be correct. Drinking water has to be correct. So it's not that difficult, but it has to be done properly.
And the next question, you've covered a little bit here with the super babies, but explain burnout babies. That's what I had, a burnout baby.
Okay. Well, these questions will overlap. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Burnout babies, I would say, is the average baby today. Now, they don't seem burned out, maybe not all the babies, but a lot of the children being born today are not in good shape. That's a general statement. And burnout refers to the adrenal glands, and it refers to fatigue. And the way that manifests in children usually, in babies, it can manifest as illness, infections, rashes, behavior problems, feeding problems, digestive problems, and others. It can also manifest as more serious illness, cancers, and other problems of children. And then the other thing is that we find that the children may not develop properly. They may be slow in to develop. They're mentally slow. Their physical growth may be impaired, and things like that. And they may just be tired, apathetic, not interested in things too much. So there are many levels or degrees of what you might call burnout in babies and children. But those are some of them. And today, there are so many children who are actually depressed, and a lot of them are on drugs for this. You have a lot of ADD,
mm-hmm. and autism, and
attention deficit. And then, of course, there's the epidemic of autism and other problems, delayed development, and so on. So that's what we mean by burnout babies. And unfortunately, it's a large number. It's not just a few.
And then super babies, you touched on already.
Yes. These are babies who, they just a couple signs of these babies. They don't cry very much when they're born or afterwards. They are pink. They're not gray.
The color is the big. I've had some clients send pictures of their babies, and they look really, the color looks great.
Yes, they're usually a healthy glow and a pink color. They have high Apgar scores at birth. That's the when they score the babies. When at birth, usually, they don't get sick very much. You know, they don't need a lot of special attention. They smile a lot. And the other thing about the super babies is that the parents report is that the children develop quickly. They're walking early. They're talking early. They're very alert, and they're eager to learn things. And they often are ahead of their peers. I don't know if you can think of other differences with these babies, but those are some of the signs and symptoms of what we call super babies. And when they get
a lot
to school,
of...
they're often way ahead of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
They're better
they
coordinated.
Think well. Mm-hmm.
They may not get along with their peers because they find school and their peers often kind of childish and babyish and...
They get bored
stupid.
Easily.
Yeah, and they get bored.
They get bored with it.
They get angry because they don't understand why they have to put up with all this. But those are some of the qualities of super babies, and it can be done. It requires a nutritional balancing program. Just good nutrition won't do it. Just taking vitamins doesn't do it. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It's a process. The program has to be properly set up. A very important part of it is to make the baby more young, the body. This is probably the hardest concept I'm finding for people to understand because it's not a common nutritional concept. It is discussed in macrobiotics, but it is not discussed in most other sciences. It is not the same exactly as the yin and yang of Chinese medicine. It's more closely related to macrobiotics, as taught by Michio Kushi and others, but he's the main one. And the children, the bodies have to be made more young. We have to get the poisons out. We don't want to put more poisons in, which was the vaccines, the drugs, the junk food. And so during pregnancy and afterwards, and if possible, the mother has to be prepared before pregnancy. It can take up to a couple of years to restore her body, and that's just to get it to a decent level. It's not, you know, perfect by any means, and so that's part of producing a super baby. And then the children need to be breastfed, and usually for a couple of years, at least a year, and that helps to also, very important. So there are different aspects of this, and if you do all these things correctly, it's not that hard, but you have to be careful because there's many distractions and there's many people telling mothers, for example, that they don't need to breastfeed their children very much, They can introduce food early. We find that not good.
Extremely common.
And there's many people telling mothers that there's nothing wrong with the vaccines, or there's nothing wrong, you need antibiotics when the child gets an ear infection. But we find there are natural alternatives that are much better, and so on and so forth. We also find that school is not a good thing for most of these children. They should be schooled at home because there are too many sick children, too many children from homes that are very troubled, and the children bring all the stress and the trauma with them. And the teachers are not really, most of them are not that good. They're not prepared to handle these children that well, especially in the public schools. So these are all aspects of producing a super child and super babies.
I have lots of moms that call me that they end up vaccinating because they go in not wanting to vaccinate, but they don't know enough about them. And doctors can be very persuasive or very strong in their opinion.
Yes, doctors.
So the moms end up caving and giving the vaccines.
That's right. It's very.
You have to educate great. Yourself.
That's right. You have to educate yourself or bring a friend with you.
Right.
That would be helpful, and preferably a man, you know, somebody with a very strong personality.
Yeah, you need that because you will feel very threatened if you're not strong in your position.
That's right, and often outnumbered.
Because often the
doctor will bring a nurse in, you know, or even two. And the ideal, by the way, is not even to expose yourself to that.
Yes, the wellness checks are not wellness checks. When I used to take Ava, every time a wellness check, the wellness check was a vaccine check. It wasn't a wellness check.
Yes, and the doctors unfortunately make money on the vaccine wellness checks. The worst, by the way, is combinations of vaccines.
And that's all they do unless you require it.
Into it. Never, ever, ever do more than one vaccine. But all the vaccines are bad. All of them are bad. But the very worst is the combinations. But actually, that's true. I think it's very difficult for a mother alone.
It is hard. You respect your doctor and you go in. It's very hard to stand up and hold your ground.
Yes.
If you're not educated or have somebody that can help you to not do it. What's that website you like? Is it childhoodshots.com? Childhood?
No. I don't know. There's a number of vaccine websites.
Yeah, I think that's the one on your website, on your vaccination article. That's the one.
Yeah, that there are ways to do it, but I tell parents, if you can help it, don't expose yourself to the whole system. It's very difficult because when your child is coughing or sneezing and you're afraid that something's going on, you know, there's a tendency to run to the doctor. And sometimes that is all right, but unfortunately, there are other agendas, and we don't like to go against doctors. We don't like to go against the medical profession, but the vaccine business is quite a horror. So is the wholesale use of antibiotics, in particular for children. Antidepressants are also a problem. They are associated with violence in children. And things like that, homicide, suicide, and other problems. So this is all part of the challenge if you want to have a super child or even just a healthy child.
It's some work, but it's well worth it. It is well worth it.
The parents tell us, my child is so different and so much of a joy. And all these problems disappear, these behavior problems.
Mm-hmm. We had with Ava. We were told she was going to be autistic. She was sick all the time. She had all of these behaviors, and they all went away, all of it.
Yes, these children are often obsessive, compulsive, angry, crying, and so forth. And how parents put up with it, I don't know. But you don't have to put up with a lot of it. That's the good news.
No,
a lot
you don't.
Can be done. It may require a couple of years of your child going through a series of what we call healing reactions, because the child may have to retrace a number of infections, eliminate a number of toxic metals. And so it isn't necessarily an overnight process, but it is well worth it. The parents who go through this, like you, Heather, report to us that, oh my gosh, it's so nice.
It is. I mean, we've never even heard the word autism since we got her going on the program. And it did take a while for all of it to go away, but we saw it unfold. And she did have some healing reactions that, you know, we thought, oh, she's getting worse. But no, it was a toxin or copper or something coming out. And other times it was she needed a change in her program, so we needed to stay up on the retest.
Yes, and the key is staying in touch with your practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Emotional balancing, and I'm available for emergencies here because sometimes handling the children is not easy because the reactions can be quite forceful, quite vigorous is the word, I guess. And that's because the children have a lot of vitality, unlike adults. And so they're going to run high fevers at times, and they may break out in some awful-looking rash at times. They may also get very belligerent,
Emotion.
Or angry at times as they retrace emotional insults, you might call it, or traumas. And so it takes a little bit to get through that usually. And most children, it can take up to 2 years. I don't know what it took for Ava to get over sort of the worst of the reactions.
We first noticed that her infections went away. That was in the first 4 months because she was always sick. I remember my husband saying, we haven't been to the hospital. And we knew we were on the right path with her. And then it just, from there, we started seeing her sleeping better. She was able to digest better. Some of her behaviors, like the temper tantrums for over 3 hours, hitting her head on things, all disappeared. But it was probably a couple years, and like you said, you do see some things that will prop up, and you just have to know that it's they have to go through it to continue.
Yes.
And heal. Yeah,
some children, I don't know that Ava had this, but some children have an awful lot of infections, and they have to retrace these. And we've worked with many, but it can take a couple of years, and the children are sick, and then they're well, and then they're sick again, and they're well.
It goes back and forth.
Another fever, and it is very difficult on parents. But I will work with those children personally sometimes because their programs need to change, and we get through it in every case if the parents will stick with it. And that's because they're just born weak. You can't tell that looking at them, but that's the way it is. Those are children usually whose parents were not on a program, and so they did not have proper prenatal care.
And that was myself. I found you right after I had my daughter, within weeks.
Yeah. So, but we need to talk about, well, you want to continue with your questions?
Yes.
We need to talk about what's wrong with prenatal care.
That's right. It says, does current prenatal care begin early enough?
No, there's a number of problems with prenatal care, and that's what is going to be the heart of this this talk or interview. I consider modern prenatal care to be basically sort of a joke. It's so bad. It is so bad that it's hardly worth, you know, calling it prenatal care. Prenatal care should begin much sooner than it does. In our modern society, the young women, you know, teenage girls, they're allowed to do whatever they want. They stay up all night. They put nail polish, which is extremely toxic, on their nails. They're putting hairspray and hair dye. They're using all kinds of chemical shampoos and body lotions. They're often wearing synthetic clothing that's giving them more chemicals.
But the diet.
Their diets are atrocious.
Oh, we see it.
You know, the macaroni and cheese and frozen meals and ramen noodles.
Op ramen and...
Yeah, and this is tolerated and even encouraged. You know, well, you don't want to control your child too much and you don't want to deprive your child of all this. This is all pernicious. In other cultures, there's this wonderful book by Weston Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, where he studied the healthiest tribes. And as soon as a girl reached puberty, they would begin immediately, long before she got married, to strengthen her body in preparation to give birth to children. And actually, their whole culture was a lot better than ours. But at the very least, the girls in particular were treated very specially and built up. Today, treating your daughter specially often means letting her get away with all kinds of things, you know, or stressing herself out trying to compete with the boys, you know, at the soccer team, and all kinds of things like that that really are not helpful at all for health. They have other benefits, but they're not helpful for one's health at all. Swimming teams and running teams and all this kind of thing. Staying out late, having boyfriends, one of the worst things that a girl can do in high school, since they get sexual diseases, they may get pregnant, they get all twisted up emotionally. None of that is helpful. And that's all part of prenatal care, because that's when those girls are, their bodies should be being built up. And then today what happens is nothing is done, or it's really negative, until a woman gets pregnant. But you don't find out you're pregnant until you've missed a period. And that's at least a month.
Yep.
And many times it's more than a month.
Mm-hmm. A couple months.
And the problem is that the baby is formed in the first 8 to 12 weeks, called the critical period of pregnancy is about 12 weeks. And so the woman has been receiving no care, no prenatal care, for the first, you know, 4, 6, maybe longer weeks. And that's when a lot of the damage occurs, of course. And then, and that's the worst, by the way, that those early months, month or two of pregnancy, that's when most of the damage occurs, because the woman is not getting any kind of prenatal care at all. And in fact, these young women are encouraged, or allowed at least, and it's accepted psychologically, it's accepted by doctors, to live a very unhealthy life, very unhealthy diets, lifestyles, running around, chemical toxicity exposure, and so forth. Then when they do finally go to the doctor, they get a few blood tests perhaps, and then they get a prenatal vitamin, which is completely inadequate, completely, totally inadequate. It's, first of all, it's one size fits all, which we never do that. That's insane. The bodies are not the same. And she gets basic diet advice, but not nearly strict enough diet, because doctors don't want to bother with that usually. Usually her lifestyle is not changed, meaning they don't tell her you got to go to bed early. You should stop using all chemicals on the body. You should be using only the simplest things like soaps and lotions. Less is better. Less makeup is better. No nail polish, no hairspray, no hair dye. All kinds of toxic stuff that people put on their hairs. Their homes should be inspected. There are people who like to do this. They go into people's houses and they look around for toxic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of
cleaning stuff,
loaded
foods,
yeah.
And
cleaning things are probably the biggest, but also pesticides. People have you know, gardens, and they have all kinds of chemicals sitting around, and they handle them. And there may be other types of toxic things, electromagnetics, you know, a lot of computer equipment that people leave on all the time. Cell phone use should be curtailed. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to getting rid of toxins. The home should be peaceful and quiet and so forth in that regard. And that should all be part of prenatal care. It all matters, even who you're hanging around with. And certainly, you don't want to be doing drugs or alcohol, which many young women, they take medicines and they do recreational drugs, some of them, and certainly recreational alcohol.
Or smoking.
And smoking is another one, mm-hmm. Yes. And that includes marijuana. That absolutely not. So that should all be part of prenatal care, the correct supplement program, the correct diet, the correct lifestyle, and the avoidance of toxins. And that would be, you know, the beginning. We would do a lot more than that. We put the women on coffee enemas. We don't use saunas during pregnancy because the infrared light is a little much for some of the fetuses. But the rest of our program, a meditation, the Roy Masters meditation, twisting the spine to keep it loose every day, keeping the spine loose, rubbing the feet. I mean, this is easy. Proper drinking water, generally spring water, very important. And so prenatal care completely falls down in that way. In addition, sometimes they put the women on drugs for various things if they're sick, and that's also a horror. We don't need to do that because we use natural alternatives. But some pregnant ladies are put on antibiotics because the doctors are worried about an infection. Some of them are put on antidepressants if they're not feeling good, and other drugs. That just adds insult to injury. And then there can be other things. Doctors don't restrict, even things like travel. You should be careful when you're pregnant. A lot of germs and hot tub use and all that kind of thing. Not a good idea. So for these reasons, modern prenatal care is a lot of lip service and not much substance, not much at all. Starting much too late, much too little, not directed well, not very sophisticated. The use of one type of vitamin is, you know, primitive. At least they're giving a vitamin. I guess we have to be grateful for that. But it's not very good. And that's the main problem today. That is the main problem today. And I think it's getting worse in some ways. I don't think it's getting better necessarily. Meaning the doctors don't want to bother. The women want to have their cell phones and they want to have their makeup and their, you know, their fingernail, you know, makeup and all the rest. And
they want to continue with their previous lifestyle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you pretty much answered the next two questions.
What are they?
That is the medical dietary and lifestyle advice adequate? Definitely
no.
Not.
No, the diets are much too lax. The food is not very good today, even the organic food. And so you need to eat three times a day, and we find you need to eat a lot of cooked vegetables. Just eating a lot of grain or a lot of meat or heaven forbid, the worst is a lot of fruit. For some reason, fruit does not work well today. Too yin. That will make things worse. That can make things worse. So, no, the dietary advice is lacking.
And cooked vegetables, I get so many calls, even before somebody's gotten their results back for their hair analysis. I get them started on the cooked vegetables, and they email or call me saying, I already start to feel better. I'm already feeling better.
Yes, the women are so malnourished. And cooked vegetables are the richest source of minerals, what are called the alkaline reserve minerals. Those are the ones that we need to build up, zinc, manganese, chromium. And they're not found in multiple vitamins very much. They're in there, but not enough, not nearly enough. And the forms in the vitamins are not good enough. We don't find that there's a substitute for the food, just so people know, because some people just figure, well, I'll just take the pills and I won't worry about it. Yes, you have to do the diet. You have to do the diet. The fiber, all the things, the phytonutrients in the cooked vegetables, they're all required. Okay. What's the next question?
Is the standard prenatal vitamin tablet enough supplementation?
No.
No, definitely not.
Some of them don't even contain enough omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, EPA, which are critical for brain development in the child. They don't contain enough vitamin D. They don't contain enough vitamin A. They certainly don't contain enough zinc in many cases. So we find that the prenatal vitamins, all of them, even the ones in the health food store, because people think, oh, I'll just get a health food one. Well, they're often better, but they're not enough either. They're not enough either. And most women need a complete program, and that's about 8 supplements, but they're carefully chosen. And they're based on a hair mineral analysis. In other words, we don't guess. It is stupid today to guess what people need nutritionally. It's not worth it.
I find a lot of moms stay on that prenatal they keep them on it.
That's another problem. When the women give birth, the doctor says, well, you know, you can stay on your prenatal. And then the women wonder why they're depressed and their children get rashes, and they may get rashes. And
their hair falls out, and the child's hair falls out. Yeah,
hair falling. That's the prenatal vitamin, which is usually high in copper. It causes all this. So don't stay on a prenatal program after giving birth. You need a different program. The hormone, you know, changes in a woman are drastic after birth. They're very different. And so that's another problem, is that doctors allow mothers to stay on a prenatal vitamin. The lack of knowledge is appalling in that area. I'm not blaming the doctors totally, because it's their education and it's a setup. It is not an accident. The drug companies have a tremendous amount of influence over the medical schools, and they really don't want people to be well-informed when it comes to the use of supplements, because then they won't need all those drugs. And so it's a setup. The doctors are kept in the dark. Doctors who really go out there and, promote nutrition are sometimes called by their board, called in and reprimanded and threatened with loss of license, which is sad. But people need to know this. The public needs to know this, that your doctor is not a free agent.
No.
Doctor is not working for you primarily. Your doctor has to satisfy his board first, the licensing board. And he may have to satisfy his attorney first. And therefore, you're getting, the third string of knowledge. And people need to know that. And that's true of pediatricians, and it's true of OBGYN doctors and all the others. Okay. Is there other questions? Yeah.
Yeah. Are standard medical checkups with ultrasound and blood tests sufficient prenatal care?
No. That's another problem. We use the hair mineral analysis, which is like a checkup. It's like a printout, and it's quite complete, but you have to know how to interpret it, and most people don't. A lady called me this morning, and she became discouraged with the practitioner she was working with who made a mistake, and so she asked her friends, well, who else is doing hair analysis, because she wanted one. But see, that got her into worse trouble, because probably 95%, maybe 99% of those who offer hair mineral analysis don't really do it correctly.
That was my first experience. It was a naturopath who did hair testing, but she could not explain anything to me.
Right. That was also my first experience. I worked with Doctors Data, and they washed the hair, and then I asked them questions. They really didn't know the answers, and I just decided the whole thing was a fraud. It's not a fraud, but you have to know what you're doing. And that's why we have the approved practitioners on the website, www.drlwilson.com, and that's the only people that I would consult. Those are the only ones. If you have a problem, contact me, because I'd like to know about the problems with any of our practitioners so we can fix them. But going outside of that to other people, doesn't matter what their credentials are. I don't care if they've got 3 or 4 degrees, they don't know it. And I wish it were not like that. I do as much teaching as I can. But anyway, no, doing blood tests will not reveal the imbalances. Ultrasounds won't reveal the imbalances. Most of the time, those are safe. Some people say that you shouldn't do ultrasounds. I don't think it's great to do any more than you need, but I don't think an ultrasound usually is that harmful, to my knowledge. But it's not enough. It's not enough. It won't do it.
And there's a lot of tests. Depending on your age, you may get more invasive.
Yes, or they may just do more blood tests, but we find blood tests will not give us the same information. We don't care what blood test it is. And a lot of the naturopaths are using blood tests and urine tests. We don't find that those will do it. We don't find that they'll do it. And so that's just the way it is.
And the hair test gives us a bigger picture of how long.
Well, the hair test gives us so much information, more than we can even use. There's lots of articles on that, but it can tell us nutrient deficiencies, dietary problems, emotional traumas that need to be handled or are being handled, but the person doesn't realize it and doesn't feel well. We get ideas about the vitality level of a person, energy level, the protein synthesis or anabolic or catabolic activity in the body, electrical activity in the body through the NAK ratio, lifestyle problems through the CAMG ratio, what we call karmic patterns or movement patterns that can affect a pregnancy, and much more. And we need all that information to guide a person properly.
Okay. The next question is, can one avoid medical drugs completely during pregnancy?
The answer is, if you do a nutritional balancing program, generally yes. And generally, it's not a very difficult thing to avoid. In other words, you may get a headache now and then or something else and want to take an aspirin, but you can usually rub your feet or do a sauna or do something else. Well, the sauna we don't use during pregnancy, but a coffee enema or one of the other procedures. And in most cases, I don't know what the percentage is of the women we work with. We have worked with about, I would guess, 300 to 400 women. And for what it's worth, at the time of this lecture, December 2013, late December, we have not had any problems. We have not had, you know, people, I hear reports all the time, well, it's not safe to just take vitamins during pregnancy. Not safe to do coffee enemas. Not safe to, you know, do some of the other things that we recommend. But just to clarify, we've not had a problem. In fact, I tell people it's dangerous not to do the program. It's far more dangerous not to do a program during pregnancy. That's what we find. Just skip the sauna, use of the sauna during pregnancy.
And the coffee enemas have helped. I've had a few women that have called that have been able to get rid of morning sickness and others.
That's right. They've been able to eat and get rid of their nausea using the coffee enemas because it works and it's safe. We don't like the use of drugs. So in most cases, the drugs are not necessary. If you get an infection, there are natural antibiotics, you might call them, or natural anti-infective agents that are much safer than antibiotics. If we don't get diabetes during pregnancy with a nutritional balancing program, and most symptoms get better. Now, if you have to take drugs, it's not the end of the world, but it certainly can impact a child, especially in the beginning, before you even know you're pregnant. Any woman, I would say, who is sexually active is at risk for getting pregnant, even if you do birth control and every kind of birth control you can imagine. And so, you know, that's where the problem arises mainly, is early pregnancy, when you're not under a doctor's care. But if you can be on a nutritional balancing program, you will be much safer.
The next question is, ideally, when should a woman start prenatal care?
Oh, I'd say ideally when she's born, meaning, you know, parents, when they're raising children, especially girls, they should be thinking in their mind, you know, my daughter is going to have to get pregnant and have babies someday, or wants to have babies someday, and she needs to be strong enough and healthy enough to do that.
Right.
And that should start, parents should be thinking that way. And by the way, it does help the women, too, the young women. A friend of mine was raised in a family where, I mean, sadly, they didn't encourage the women to excel intellectually at all, but they did talk to the women, the girls in the family, about, you know, you're going to have children one day, you're going to have a family, and that's going to make you very happy, and, you know, it's going to be wonderful. And as a result, this young woman kept that in mind, and it didn't stop her completely from doing stupid things, you know, toxic things, drinking some alcohol and other things. But it did help. She told me it really helped, because whenever her friends were going to go out and stay out all night or screw around with boys or do other things, she remembered that her parents said, well, you know what, you need to keep your health, because you want to have a family someday and you want them to be healthy. And so I think that should be part of raising children, boys and girls, but particularly the girls, to keep reminding them that, you know what, your body's very special. and you need it to raise children. So don't trash it. Don't ruin it the way many do. So I would say that early is ideal. Now, if it's not going to be done at that time, or if it's not emphasized, then when a young woman reaches puberty, sexual maturity, definitely. And then, of course, the next step probably would be if she gets a boyfriend, which we don't like, much better to get married. But if she gets a boyfriend or gets married, then even more so, because childbirth is that much closer.
And mom has to have energy to be able to raise a child. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not, you need the energy. And if you're exhausted and then your child doesn't feel well, it's a pretty vicious cycle.
Yes, and it's even vicious if you're depressed, if the mother is depressed, if the mother's anxious, if the mother is, debilitated in any way. It's very hard. It's that much harder to have a baby and to raise a child.
Because I was sick and I was started on the program and I did get better, but it was difficult to try to take care of a newborn that was ill on top of myself that was also ill.
That's right.
You know?
So there are a lot of reasons you do it for yourself and you do it for your baby. And you do it for society because the children and the families are the future of society. And although that may sound somewhat, I don't know, far removed, there's nothing wrong with young people thinking that way. You know, I want to be healthy for myself. I want to be healthy for my children. I want to help uplift the nation and the world by having a healthy family. Yeah.
Yes, it's so much. It's. I have so much fun with my daughter, but I don't think
the start is now.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think that would have been if I wouldn't have found the program.
No, you'd be spending your time being a caretaker, probably.
Right, and trying to, I mean, just getting up off the couch was hard enough, you know?
Yeah, but I mean with your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Your daughter would still be sick, and she'd be mm-hmm. full of drugs, and mm-hmm. she'd be perhaps autistic, and, you know, there's so many families that are trapped in that. Although we can help those children, we can help the autistic children, but it's much more work. It's much easier to prevent all this. Certainly in the area of child raising and childbirth, prevention is worth not a pound of cure, but you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Much, much, much easier and better.
Next question is, should men participate in prenatal care?
Yes, for a number of reasons. There is some effect of the father with the baby, you know, the quality of the sperm, the quality of the DNA, that there is definitely an effect there. Also, the father, there is a relationship between the baby and the father. It's not as strong, of course, as the mother, but there is a relationship. And so the babies are in touch with their dads. They love their fathers, and if the father is in bad shape, the baby will feel that directly, on physical levels and on more subtle levels. And then perhaps the most important, although not necessarily always, is that the mother lives with the father, in most cases, we hope. And so, and marriage is much better. There are subtle reasons for that, rather than just having a boyfriend. So the father, if the father is eating junk food, it tempts the mother, right? If the father is eating very well, it encourages the mother. It supports the mother. If the father thinks that taking vitamins is stupid, well, that rubs off on the mother. If the father takes his vitamins along with his wife, well, that encourages the mother. So those are all reasons why men do need to be involved. Even if the direct effect is a little bit less, there's definitely an effect, and there is a relationship. So there's a direct effect with the baby on all levels, and there's an effect with his wife or partner, which directly affects the baby. Another area, of course, would be For example, if the father is distraught or depressed, the mother and father may fight more, and the baby picks up all that energy. Whereas if the father takes care of himself and is on the same wavelength, the baby picks that up too, and there's a unified family. So the answer is yes, it's very important for fathers as well.
Okay, the next question, we have a couple more here. Is nutritional balancing a good prenatal program?
Yes, it's the best one I've found.
I was going to say, I think it's the only one.
No, there's plenty out there. You know,
I like this one.
There's people advocating, you know, just take some vitamins. There's people, you know, if you call up vitamin companies, they'll say, yeah, we got a prenatal and we got a program, you know, and some of them are decent, meaning they give you fish oil and vitamin D and vitamin C and A and so forth. So, no, there are lots of programs out there. When I first started this work, I had no idea whether nutritional balancing was a good program prenatally and whether it was safe. And in the beginning, I remember being very hesitant, because, you know, they teach you, don't fool around during pregnancy, and I agree with that. Don't fool around during pregnancy with vitamins or anything else. And so in the beginning, it was a very tentative on my part. Women would come to me, and they'd say, well, what should I do during my pregnancy? And I don't know, I guess I asked Dr. Eck, or I just took my chances, and I said, well, why don't you go ahead and do the program? And we never had a problem. And so over the years, my confidence has grown. That's the best way to put it, is that my confidence has grown, and so far, the confidence has been justified. In other words, we have not had problems, and in fact, we've had beautiful babies. Whereas one of our consultants, for example, called me yesterday, and her daughter, who's about 30, and who is a health professional herself, is not interested in nutritional balancing, but she is a chiropractor, and so she went on another program, you know, that was through another company and recommended. And her baby is not as good. Now, her baby is better than average babies, because this woman is a natural health practitioner, and she's a smart lady, and she takes good care of herself, and so on. But our experience is that there's something special about nutritional balancing. It's not just for pregnancy, but it's in many ways, and that the babies fare better on it. So that's how I would have to phrase it for anyone who's looking around. There are actually quite a few prenatal programs. You know, if you go to books on nutrition, mm-hmm. they'll tell you what they recommend. Okay, but no, nutritional balancing seems superior in my experience.
And the next question is nutritional balancing completely safe for pregnant women?
So far, the answer is yes. If it's done properly and not doing saunas during pregnancy would be the only change. We also make sure that they're getting a little bit of the standard, at least a little of the standard pregnancy nutrients, calcium, magnesium, folic acid.
Folic acid, yeah.
We don't find that we have to give iron, and we could have a whole discussion about iron, but we find that the prenatal vitamins are often loaded with iron, and iron is irritating to the intestinal tract. Many forms of iron are. And we don't find that we need to give all the pregnant ladies iron in the beginning. Later on in pregnancy, the baby gets a 3-year supply of iron. And so some of the women do need iron supplement at that time. But in the beginning, we do not feel that they all need iron because it will upset a nutritional balancing program just to give someone iron without thinking about it too much. We often use desiccated liver to provide iron or an iron chelate. We don't like the iron that the doctors are using. It is a more irritating iron, and it is less well absorbed. We also don't find that we have to give all the pregnant ladies copper, but that's what the prenatal vitamins often have, is a lot of copper. Copper will help a woman keep her pregnancy. A woman who is very prone to miscarriage, they have to be careful And too much zinc, for example, can lower copper and could, in theory, I haven't seen it really, and we don't give enough zinc to really do that usually, and we're careful what we use. But it could contribute to a miscarriage. And nutritional balancing, we give what's needed, and some women, we could give them a little extra copper, maybe a milligram or two, if we're concerned about a miscarriage. But it varies with what we do, but we don't have to do the just one size fits all, and we don't think that that's correct. Certainly not in the area of iron, and probably copper as well.
And this is the last question. I think you just answered here. It says, "What changes need to be made in the nutritional balancing program for prenatal care and pregnancy?"
Okay, well, that is a very important question, I would say. And let's just review it, and since I kind of rambled around the answer. For prenatal care, I don't know that there's any modification required. In other words, a standard nutritional balancing program, which is the diet, the lifestyle, the about 8 supplements, the procedures, all of them, coffee enemas, infrared lamp sauna, not the other kinds, but the lamp sauna, rubbing the feet, the foot reflexology, and even hand reflexology, twisting the spine to keep it loose, Roy Masters meditation, and some carrot juice. That program is usually very sufficient, very excellent. Now, if a woman is having special problems, we might do something extra. For example, if she's very anemic, well, she might need iron conceivably, although usually not if she eats enough red meat, and so on. Now, during pregnancy, there are some modifications, and I'm going to run through them. I didn't really do this in the same way. One of the very important ones is if a lady is 4 lows, we don't like women in 4 lows getting pregnant. It's a little more dangerous. But if she's 4 lows, we add 1 Megapan tablet. That's one modification. Another modification is that we might check iron status. They generally do that. You'll do a blood test. And some women will need an iron supplement, although usually that is not till the second or third trimester of pregnancy. But that could be checked. We don't usually worry about it because we do recommend red meat, and you will get quite a bit of iron. Some women, though, are losing a lot of iron with heavy periods. Of course, not during pregnancy, they're not. So the iron issue. And then other than that, I don't think that there is a particular modification to the program, except, as I mentioned earlier, to not do the near-infrared lamp sauna. Some women can do it on their back, and early in pregnancy it may be fine because the baby is tiny and deep within. Later on in pregnancy, the baby is large and the muscles stretch out, and the baby's head, for example, may be quite near the surface of the mother's body. And so it may be a little detrimental to do the lamp sauna session, so we don't bother with those. One could use a red heat lamp, but even then, I'd be careful, especially during the third trimester of pregnancy. Other than those modifications, the diet is very critical, but it's a standard nutritional balancing diet. And I can't think of other changes.
No, that's the main one is, just like you said, no sauna. And then we add certain things depending on what pattern they're in on the hair test. And
we do add 1 Megapan if they're in 4 lows. And we may add iron. But other than that, and iron is always in the form of desiccated liver or an iron chelate, perhaps. Not the standard, prescription iron. But other than that, they're usually not... there is usually no particular change. A nutritional balancing program always includes an excellent lifestyle, gentle exercise only, not pushing in that area, and a wholesome life in general, going to bed early, plenty of rest, and so forth, avoiding toxins.
There's a question here I wanted to ask you. It says, do you recommend vaccination even for newborns?
No. We don't recommend vaccination at all for anyone.
Right. They take away, I know a lot of times that when the baby is born, they do take the baby pretty quickly. And I've had people tell me they've had people
they come
that...
back when your baby's been vaccinated against hepatitis B.
Yeah.
A disease that is very, very, very rare in babies. And I think it's an attack on babies. And my feeling would be, if possible, have your baby at home. But if you're going to go to a hospital, you should have an advocate there with you.
Somebody who follows the baby.
Yes, follows the baby around, follows the doctor around, but mostly follows that baby around.
Follows the baby. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately has to be there 24 hours a day. And if one person obviously can't do that, you need two or three of them. And you just take turns. Do a vigilance, you know, a vigil on that baby. And you get out of that hospital as fast as possible. Get out of that environment and get home as fast as possible because it's not just vaccines that they do to the babies. And this is going to sound paranoid, but they can inject your baby with tracking devices these days. All sorts of weird things can happen in there. So you should be vigilant and ideally have the baby at home. If you do a nutritional balancing program, it'll be a lot safer to have the baby at home. It may not work out. Some places have these birthing recreational.
The birthing centers. Yeah.
Well, there's a birthing center, which is better than a hospital, fewer germs. And then sometimes they have these recreational vehicles. They drive up and they put it in your driveway. And then they deliver the baby at home. But if there's a problem and you need a cesarean or something, they've got an operating, it's a mobile operating room is what it is. And they can do it immediately, and they can do it right in your driveway. And that way they don't have to, especially if you live a distance from a hospital or if a complication should arise, either they don't have to drive for an hour to get to a hospital. So there are ways to do it. And babies, this underwater delivery is not bad. You know, there's Lamaze and there's these other methods of childbirth that are much less traumatic to the child. If it's done properly. But if you're going to do it in a hospital, you should have advocates there. Obviously the woman's husband and maybe friends, and you keep an eye on the child and you go home as soon as you can. Get out of the hospital. Because otherwise you're right. They can secretly vaccinate the child. They can secretly do other things to your child. They can even switch children around. And it happens, as you know, now and then there something makes the news. You know, they switch the babies. They all kind of look the same, you know, someone. Okay.
Let me ask this last question because we get this
one
a lot. It says, how long should we breastfeed a baby, ideally?
Ideally, 3 years.
Okay.
And that's a complicated situation because most of the mothers do not have good quality milk today. If they're not on a nutritional balancing program, the milk quality is so poor that the babies either will reject the milk, often after a number of months. Some of them will reject it right immediately. Or it won't be enough, and it definitely won't be enough nutrition. And so the baby will be hungry, and the baby will be crying and colicky. And you take them to the doctor, and the doctor will say, well, you should start giving your baby food. Well, the reality is the baby's intestinal tract is not really ready for adult food for about 2 to 3 years. Not really ready, so it's rough on the child. It's rough, and it causes food allergies and leaky gut syndrome and flora problems and other things. So if the mother is healthy, then to breastfeed into the third year is very good. And at that time, you can often start adding food. But most women are taught, you know, after a year, that's plenty. And, of course, the mothers don't want to bother because it hurts or, it's just a pain in the whatever, and so they do it much earlier. But ideally speaking, the baby is better off with several years of purely breastfeeding, providing the mother is healthy. And the mother can get healthy with a nutritional balancing program. And since we're on the subject, I'll also add that we find that all the babies, all, including the super babies, including the ones whose mothers were on a program, they all need supplements. They all need a few supplements. Someday we'll have a baby product, but for right now we just combine usually Limcomin, SBF, and Paramin, those three. And all the babies need that, usually starting about the third or fourth month of life, the babies need a nutritional balancing program, meaning some supplements in addition to their breast milk. That helps them all.
Okay, Dr. Larry Wilson, I think we've gotten to the last question. So I appreciate you talking with me today.
And I appreciate the interview. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Everyone, a wonderful new year.